remember the day that I moved into the dorm at Clemson. It was very exciting. I had lots of stuff, a whole lot of stuff, considering how small my dorm room was. But so, you know, we got all our stuff in, and my parents helped me start to unpack a little bit, and, you know, we met my roommate and her parents, and then after a little while, we were getting hungry, and so we headed downtown, and we grabbed some lunch, and then after lunch, it was time for my parents to leave, because I'm from New Orleans, and the drive from Clemson to New Orleans is pretty long, and my parents wanted to get a good chunk of the way there, and so we said goodbye, and I walked back up to my dorm room, and I had, like, one or two boxes left to unpack, and so I did, and then my roommate wasn't back yet from lunch with her parents, and I kind of sat there, and I thought, well, what now? I mean, like, here I am in this new place, in this new city, like, on my own, and, like, what now? And just so you know, that was a question I would ask quite a few times in the next few weeks. But, you know, my roommate soon came back, and we went to a cookout. They had a cookout for all the freshmen on Bowman Field, and it started pretty early. It was, like, 5 or 5:30, and so we went to the cookout, me and my roommate, and then there was one other person I knew already at Clemson, and she and her roommate, the four of us went, and then the cookout ended, and we'd eaten, and it was barely even, it wasn't even dark yet, and we looked at each other, and it was like, well, what now? And so three of the four of us who were standing there were from out of state, but my roommate is from the upstate, and so she said, well, actually, like, I need to run to Walmart to get a couple things I realize I don't have. And so she said, why don't you guys want to come to Walmart? And we're like, sure, I mean, we're not doing anything else. So we went to Walmart, and I just, like, vividly remember this of my first night in college. It's, like, 10:30, and we are getting in the car to go to Walmart. And we don't get back till, like, after midnight, and I don't have to tell anybody, like, report to anybody or anything. And I just remember being there and in this moment and thinking, wow, like, college is great. And so while this is a really lighthearted example, it does exemplify the point that whenever we experience big changes, I feel like we're often faced with this question, what now? I know that in ministry, I have heard that question posed to me many times, maybe after somebody gets a bad diagnosis or after the loss of a loved one, I've had people look at me and in grief say, what now? And I just have to imagine that for the disciples, after everything that has taken place over a very short period of time, that after the resurrection, that they are also standing around and they're thinking, what now? Because if we're going to just think briefly about what's happened to the disciples in the last week and a half, if we begin with Palm Sunday, when they come into Jerusalem, and granted, Jesus at this point tends to draw a crowd, but people come out in droves, they form a parade, and they start bowing down and singing praises. And then just a few days later, they gather and they celebrate the Passover, which would have itself been a very familiar thing. But yet this was a Passover unlike any they had ever celebrated before. Because at this meal, Jesus starts talking about how he is getting ready to die, how some of them are going to betray or deny him. He talks about the bread and the wine and how that's going to be his body and blood. And then he does the unthinkable. Their master and teacher gets down on his knees and he washes each of their feet. If that isn't enough and strange enough, they then go from there to the garden where Jesus prays in agony and the disciples, despite their best attempts, can't manage to stay awake. And then the guards show up and they arrest Jesus. And the very next day, Jesus is tried and sentenced to death on the cross, is crucified, and he dies. I imagine that when the disciples woke up Saturday morning, if they even fell asleep, that they were in shock. They were filled with grief and guilt and despair and really uncertain what to do next. And then Sunday comes, and the women come rushing in to where the disciples are gathered, and they proclaim the tomb is empty. And they go and see for themselves, and then shortly thereafter, they see Jesus. He appears before them. This is where our scripture for today picks up in John 21. And so when we get to this point and all this has happened, even though lots has taken place, I just have to believe that the disciples are thinking, what now? And so I want you to keep that question in mind as we turn to John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. gathered together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." And they went out and they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" And they answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumping into the lake. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. So what do the disciples do after Jesus' brutal death and resurrection from the dead? They do what they know, and they go fishing. I can imagine them sitting around, and Peter, who's always been impetuous, I would think that he just doesn't sit still well. He finally can't take it anymore, just sitting around, and so he says, "You know what? I'm going fishing." I imagine the other disciples are like, "Yeah, okay. Yeah, we'll come too." And so they do. And the others go along. Now, I have to believe that the disciples, they know life is different. They know that everything has changed. But yet in some ways, everything still kind of seems the same. I mean, they're still among one another and they still have responsibilities, perhaps to each other, to their family, to eat, to other things like that. And they just aren't sure what they're supposed to do next. Maybe some of you have had similar experiences. Maybe even you experienced this just last week. Because we gathered here on Easter and we have this glorious celebration. We proclaim that Christ is risen, that God's resurrection power has been unleashed among us, and that God is at work in and all around us, creating things anew. And we left excited and in a celebratory mood, but perhaps when you woke up on Monday morning and headed to work, or on Tuesday when it was time to go to school, and you found yourself asking, "What now? I mean, I know things are different, and yet my routine, my life, it kind of seems the same." I remember feeling this really strongly when I was 14. It was at that point that kind of all that I had learned in Sunday school and things about scripture and everything finally came together for me. It was like I finally understood that the significance, what it meant that Christ had died for us, what the expectation was on me. And I had this powerful experience of God and I was committed and ready to follow Jesus. But a day or two later, I remember waking up and thinking, well, what now? Because I knew that Jesus had changed my life, and I knew that things were going to be different, and yet on the surface, life was still the same. I still had school and homework and chores and piano lessons and all of these things, not to mention that I knew very little about the Bible beyond perhaps telling a compelling account of Noah and the Ark or Jesus feeding the 5,000, and you know, I was 14, so I couldn't drive, so it's not like I was going to take myself anywhere to do anything like that. And while I know that over the next few months, there were a lot of gradual changes that took place, I joined a small group, I started singing in the praise band and doing more and more things at church, in that immediate moment, the only thing I could think of to do differently was to start reading my Bible. Because I didn't really do that a whole lot before that point. But I decided if things were really different, then I needed to make some kind of change. And it was the only thing I could think to do. And so I started reading my Bible almost every day. Now, this was just a really long way of me getting to the point that I understand where the disciples would have been coming from. About how they wouldn't have been sure what to do next in spite of all of the things that have happened. But what we see in this story from John is that this doesn't last long. The disciples go out and they fish. They do what they know, and they fish all night and they catch nothing. And then at daybreak, Jesus appears on the beach. But they don't recognize him. They think he's a stranger, and Jesus calls out to them, children. Or in some translations, it says friends. So Jesus calls out, children, friends, you have no fish, have you? And they answer, no. And so Jesus says, cast your nets to the other side. And so they do. And suddenly they have more fish than they know what to do with, that they're barely able to haul into the boat. Now, I have to admit at this point that it is a little bit hard for me as an outsider looking in to believe that they didn't recognize Jesus at this point. I mean, they know he's raised from the dead. He's already appeared from him multiple times. He calls them children or friends, which is a personal, intimate greeting. And then he tells them after catching no fish all night to move their nets, and they catch more than they can handle. But according to the scripture, it is only that disciple whom Jesus loved, a.k.a. John, the gospel writer, who recognizes Jesus. And in this, we get one of the answers to this question, what now? What do we do after everything has changed, after we celebrate Easter and the resurrection power unleashed in the world? We have to start looking for Jesus in the world. We must start seeing the ways that God is at work all around us. And for some, this is a practice that comes more easily than others. But even if it comes more easily, there's always work to be done. Because we're people who know and believe that God is always with us. So there's nowhere we can go or we can get away from God. And yet, I know at least for me, there's a lot of times that I'm not aware or my eyes aren't open to see the ways that God is present and at work all around me. But I do know that through discipline, through asking those kind of questions, through journaling, through other things, that we can get better at recognizing the ways that God is with us. I mean, last Sunday we gathered, we celebrated the resurrection and talked about how God is making all things new. So where do you see that happening? Where did you see or experience a new life this week? If you had been in that boat, would you recognize Jesus on the beach? Or are you like the other disciples who continue to go about their business on the boat? However, before we put John on too high of a pedestal for being the one who recognized Jesus, let's return to the story. Because although John is the one who recognizes Jesus and he says to Peter, it is the Lord, as far as we know, John doesn't do anything else after that. He stays in the boat. But Peter, on the other hand, he jumps into the lake first, putting on clothes. There's this kind of aside about that. But then he jumps in the lake and he starts swimming to shore. It's like Peter can't get to Jesus fast enough. Which gives us our second answer to this question. What now? And it's that we have to act. And this is where Peter excels. Because Peter isn't usually the first one to get it or to understand exactly what's going on. Peter often puts his foot in his mouth, but he is always ready and eager to act when the situation presents itself. mean, Peter's the one who walks on water. Peter's the one who bursts into the empty tomb while the other disciple waits at the entrance. And it's Peter who dives into the water out the boat and frantically swims to the shore towards Jesus. Now, again, I'm aware that for some of you, this eagerness to act is more natural than for others. And I know we have plenty of Peters here, that there are people here who, even if I call last minute apologetically and say, oh, we really need help with this, like today, that there are some of you here who are quick to jump into action regardless. And what we see in John and Peter are really kind of two different ways that they live into their role as disciples. John, who is quick to understand, to recognize and see the way that Jesus is present, and Peter, who's quick to act. And what I know is that in the body of Christ, we need both. And not only that, that we need to be both if we're going to be most faithful. What now? John and Peter give us that answer, that we need to look, that we need to be on the lookout and aware of the ways God is at work and calling us, and we need to be ready to act. Because Jesus' presence on the beach with the disciples solidifies that life is not going to be the same, that we can't just go back to normal. And as Easter people, we also know that that's true. Now, for John and Peter, the way that their life changes is very dramatic. They, from this point forward, spend the rest of their lives preaching and teaching. And while all of us may not be in the position to quit our jobs and give up our responsibilities, although maybe someone here is, that doesn't mean that we can stay the same. Maybe this is the catalyst for you to start talking more openly about your faith. Or maybe it's now that you look and see that a friend or coworker has been waiting for you to invite them to church or to tell you more about your faith. Maybe this is the catalyst for you to take the next step in generosity, seeing the ways that your generosity helps the work of the kingdom and acting on the fact that all that we have isn't ours anyways. Maybe for you, if you're new to church and you come sometimes on Sunday morning but haven't done much else yet, you're still checking it out, this is the time to step out and do something different and go serve at Triune next weekend and step out of your box. Where for me, almost 15 years ago, it was the decision to start reading my Bible daily. And I can say that I've been doing that almost every day since. And while in that moment, or even in the first few days and weeks after that choice, it might not have been that I really noticed a whole lot of change, what I can say for certain at this juncture is that that has had such a significant impact and shaping on me over this long span of time. It's influenced so much of what I've done and who I am, and it's probably a big reason why I'm even here before you. Because I knew I had to do something different. Christ is risen, and everything has changed. Have you? Amen.